Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Amen. Turn to someone today. Welcome them to Word of Life Church. Woo, I tell you, I could go home now. Said it would have been good to be here. Amen. It's turning around right now. Open up your Bibles, if you brought them, to the book of Psalms, chapter 23. If you're new to the church, we want to say thank you. We're so glad to have you here with us. And I just know you didn't come here by accident. I know God's got a plan for you. His purposes are always good for you. And I think he's at work in your life in bigger ways than you know. How many of you know oftentimes God does a lot of his best work behind the scenes? Amen. Amen. And so even if you might have not noticed him working, God's been working just so hard just to even bring you to this moment and into this service. And so we are super excited to have you here with us. And not just all of you, but also everyone watching online. I don't even know how to pronounce that name. I am so sorry, but you are watching from the University of Southern Mississippi. And Patrick from Kansas City, and Kimberly all the way from California. Let's give it up for them and everyone else who's watching online. You guys are amazing, and we hope to see you soon here in person. If you brought your Bible, open them up with me to the book of Psalms. If you didn't bring your Bible, no worries. They'll put it up on the screens as well. If you need a Bible, come down to the altar and ask for one at the end of the service, and I'd love to give you one. We'll just give it to you. Psalms chapter 23, in verse number 1, it says the following. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. The Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yes, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I've been meditating on that verse a lot this week, verse 4. We're in this series entitled Monsters on My Mind. And one of the things that has come against my mind is loss, the valley of the shadow of death. When I read verse 4, I see several things. The first thing I see is this. They'll put it up on the screens. The first thing I see is this, is we will all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's not one of us who will not walk through that valley. We go through seasons of loss where there are things that were in our life that just died. There's no reason for it, or sometimes there is, but it's just not there anymore. When I was 17, for those of you who might be new to the church, my father passed away. And it was by far the biggest loss I had ever had taken place in my life, and still to this day, the biggest loss I've ever experienced. And when I say loss, I don't want you to think of like, I don't know where he is, because when you lose something, you don't know where it's at. And how many of you know, for those of us who have faith in Christ and have loved ones who had faith in Christ, we know exactly where they are. And how many of you are so thankful for heaven? Amen? So thankful for heaven and life after death. But it doesn't replace how I felt, and sometimes, honestly, still do, even as a grown man with children of my own now, that sense that sometimes something is missing. Does that make sense? And it's not just that. There's other losses that we experience. Sometimes a relationship can die. You ever had that happen? It wasn't like they died. It was just the relationship died. Like before, maybe there was a relationship you were drawing so much life from, like so much strength from. It was a great friendship or whatever it was. And it just died. And now that life that you were getting from that friendship, it's just not there anymore. And maybe they killed it. Maybe you killed it, or maybe it just passed away, but it's just not there. I can remember when I took over the church. I took over this church at 19. Father passed away at 17. I took over at 19. And we were going through this stage in the church where people were staying away by the droves. I was just feeling just really down and kind of rejected. And I had a relationship in my life that was my assistant. Her name was Londa. And I drew a lot of support, guidance, wisdom, instruction from that relationship because she was my father's assistant as well. So I naturally just kind of leaned on her a lot because she saw him in the office every day and kind of knew how he processed things. So I would say, what did he do with this? Like, with this situation, what happened there? Like, how did he process that? Like, those types of things is a huge source of strength for me. And she came to me one day and she said, Pastor Joe, I have something I need to tell you. I've been praying about this for a while. And she said, I feel led to move to Texas. I'm like, I don't know who you've been talking to, but no, you can't go too. Like, no. And I knew in my heart it was the right move for her, just as she did, but I didn't want to let go. And she told me something on that day. I never forgot it. It served me well. She said, most things in your life are seasonal. They're not lifetime. That's the truth. Most friendships are seasonal. They're not lifetime. Most relationships are seasonal. They're not lifetime. A lot of jobs are seasonal jobs. They're not lifetime. And she said, Joel, if you try to make something that is seasonal, something that is lifetime, it'll break your heart. And you know what? That's some of the best advice I've ever gotten. She was right. If you try to make something that needs to pass away, that needs to go, if you try to make that something that you don't want to let go of, and it's dying, you can't hold on to death. Soon the ashes will slip out of your fingers. You've got to let it go. And sometimes relationships die. I've had places die. I remember when God called me out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, over to come to Jackson, Mississippi. I was in Bible school, knew I was supposed to come back and pastor, and I was outside of the will of God. It was like that place died. When I would come into that place, like physically enter into the city limits, I would almost get sick inside. The place died. Like that, see, it was good for a season. It was good for a moment. But I had to learn to let go of that. That's hard. We all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you have any type of life experience, maybe some of you are really young today and you haven't faced that, I pray you haven't. If you're really young, I pray you haven't. But the older you get, the more you see death, the death of things. We all walk through that valley. If Jesus tarries is coming, we will all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when it happens, it's where order turns into chaos. Order turns into chaos. Now somebody says, what do you mean by order? Well, if I was to give you a picture of it, this is something that we're probably not very familiar with here in Mississippi, but ice skating. I've never done that before. It looks fun, but I've never done that. But when you have order, this is what life looks like. You have freedom to explore. You have the ability to have an adventure. If you got tired, you could sit down and rest. There's structure. There's a foundation underneath your feet. So because you have order, you have strength. Because you have order, you have stability. Because you have order, when things are in order financially, you're not panicky. You've got a firm foundation, and sometimes there are seasons, right? And thank God for those seasons where, like, everything's in order. Your health is in order. Your finances are in order. And there's a freedom of expression that is healthy and good and something we all crave. But life doesn't always stay that way. Sometimes order turns into chaos. And I've got a picture for that. That's where you fall through the ice. It's like where there is something underneath your feet that was holding you up, and now it's not holding you up anymore. The way I describe it is when my father passed away, it was so sudden, it was like the foundation shifted from me. The way I told a friend, it's like you had a vase, and you put it on a pedestal, and you had a concrete floor underneath it, and someone kicked the pedestal out from underneath the vase, and the vase hit the concrete floor, and you have all these pieces everywhere, and you have no idea how to put it all back together. That's how I felt. And you don't have the order. Like, at that time, at 17, my entire landscape of my future was built off of my father in the picture. Like, everything I saw had him in it in some capacity. And then he was gone. And I didn't know what to do with that. And when chaos erupts in my life, your life, I don't care who you are, even in Scripture, we'll look at some examples today. When chaos comes into our life, you feel the urge to panic, to freak out, to come into this place where it's like, I've got to claw out with aggression, and then if you can't, there's fear, and there is anxiety, and there is sadness, and there is depression, and there is like, what in the world is going on? And all of these things. And we have got to know how to deal with it. And unfortunately, the church world just seems like it doesn't want to address this issue other than just like man up or woman up or, you know, make it happen. And we're going to talk about those things. But before I give you a solution, here's what I want you to know, is you can walk through the valley. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can walk through it. I don't care what valley you are in. Now listen to me. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how rough it is. I don't care who died. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what you're facing financially. I don't care how high the bills are. Whatever valley you are in, trust me when I say, you can walk through it. Now here's what you need to know. There are so many ways life can fall apart. Am I right? Like so many ways like life can get chaotic and fall apart. There are also so many ways where things just don't come together. It's like in your mind, you pictured it kind of coming together this way and then they don't. But here's what you need to know. It's always wounded people who are holding it all together. Now I didn't want to believe that when my father passed away. And I didn't want to believe that when I started pastoring the church at 19 and everything was falling apart. My mind wanted to tell me no one understands me and no one has faced what I am facing and no one gets me. And then I've pastored now for 17 years and you know what I found? I have absolutely found that there are people that I was pastoring who had it way worse than me. Like, I can remember some of my first couple of counseling appointments. They would come into my office, like, looking for counsel, like, wise counsel. And they would tell me their issues. And, like, what do we do? I'm sitting there. I start crying. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've never heard of anyone having it that bad. I've lived like a sheltered life, man. When that came on the TV, I turned the channel. If I did turn the channel, I got grounded for hearing about stuff like that. Like, no, I don't know. Here's some tissue. Like, they're comforting me. They would wind up giving me counsel. Because if you live long enough, everybody has had drama. Everybody has gone through things. Everybody has. And the same people you look at who think they have it all together, if you knew their story, come on now, if you knew what they had been through and the obstacles that they had faced, you would know it's always wounded people holding it together. You can walk through the valley. You can, you can, you can. And not only can you, listen to me, you must. You must walk through the valley. Why? Revelation teaches us this. Revelation 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. He that overcometh. God has given you the armor of Christ, the armor of God. We've got a helmet of salvation, a sword of a spirit, and shield of faith, all these things. How many of you know God's not getting you all dressed up and not giving you any place to go? That's just rude. No, he's dressed you like a warrior because that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to go to war. And you know what? In God's view, he'd rather have you be able than protected. See, we don't do that as parents. We try to shield our children from all these things. In God's view, it's like, I'd rather make you able, strong enough to resist it. strong enough to overcome it, then just protect you from it. Because God knows, just like we know, if we really think about it with our kids, I can't lock you in your room forever. And so when you get out there, you better be able to face these things. And while I would prefer to protect you from everything, like literally everything, I better do some training with you on how to overcome these things. Because when you're outside of this home, you're gonna have some things you're gonna have to what? Overcome some things you're absolutely going to have to get over. And those who get over it, these are the people who inherit all things. This is why every movie you've seen that has any kind of interest in it has some drama to it, has some obstacles in it. Like, you know, just watching the movie, everything's not gonna go great for them. They fall in love, something's gonna come up, right? It looks like everything's peachy. Something's gonna come up. Somebody is going to have something come up. And in our lives, these are the stories that we admire, because these are the stories that call the greatness out of your soul. We don't talk about Michael Jordan being amazing. You know what we tell our kids? It's like, do you know Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team? That's the story we tell them. Why? Because we know he overcame it. When you hear about Abraham Lincoln, it's like all these things he tried to get in that failed, and all these political things he tried to get in that failed, and he became president. Why does that stir our hearts? Because our souls crave to know that people can go through adversity and still live a great life. Why? It's in your spiritual DNA to turn order into chaos, or to turn chaos into order. It's absolutely how you're hardwired by God. When you go back to the book of Genesis, you know what you see? You see darkness over the face of the earth. You see chaos. You see disruption. You don't see beauty. You definitely don't see order. You don't see like the oceans bumping against the sand, but the sand eventually pushing it back, and the sun rising and setting. You don't see order. You see absolute chaos. But you know what? In the face of that chaos, you have the Holy Spirit hovering across the face of the earth. In the middle of that chaos, God stood up with power and authority and began to speak. And as he began to speak, the Spirit of God began to work and brought order to chaos. You know what happened after that? God made you out of the dust of the earth, formed and fashioned you, made you in his image and in his likeness, and breathed his breath into you until you became a speaking spirit. You know what that means? In this life, I'm telling you, you're gonna be pressed, you're going to be hit, you're going to be distracted, and you will be knocked down. But the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the exact same spirit that will quicken and make alive your mortal body. And in the midst of that, you can get out. You can get out. There's absolutely no temptation where there is not a way of escape that you can't get out of, because the same spirit that brought beauty out of chaos is the same spirit that is in you. You can see it turn around. And Satan would love to have you believe the lie that it can't, so that you give up and quit and never walk through the valley. But listen to me, you can walk through. You can, you can, you can. You can do all things through Christ, who is your strength. But here's what we know. That in all of our lives, we would love to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, confident, victorious, we're gonna make it through this. But how many of you know we're not always that way? And here's what I love about God. That was not the first verse in Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is not one verse. You're gonna walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you're gonna fear no evil, because you're gonna know I am with you. Now, God's solution to our valleys, our loss, is not just man up. It's not just woman up. We've got a guy on staff. His name's Zach, and he's sarcastic, which I enjoy sarcastic people. He's sarcastic in a good way. Right? Like in a good way. And he's got this thing he'll say a lot, and it's just be better. Just be better. And the reason why it's sarcastic and funny is because we know be better is not that easy. Like, it's not, oh, that went terrible. Oh, just be better. Well, if I was could just be better, it would have been better. That's why it's funny. Sarcasm. Anyway. But we know it's not just, okay, like I'm hurt, petrified, and upset because of what's going on in my life. Joel, just get over it. Like you read these stories in scripture and it's like God coming to Joshua after Moses dies and it's like, Moses is dead. Move. Like, it's like, I would love to. It's like Samuel, you know, after Saul has fallen apart, and it's just a mess, and Samuel's weeping, and God comes to Samuel, and he's like, yeah, Saul is over. Like, it's time to move on to David. And it's like, it was that easy for them? Like, it was just, okay, I'm good. Yeah, you're right, Moses is dead. Yeah, you're right, that thing with Saul was a train wreck. Just move on. God knows you. And you know what? I love this about God. He's not repelled by your weaknesses. He's actually touched by them. So he says, before we go through walking through this valley and all, where you're going to walk through it fear no evil and knowing that I'm with you and my rod and my staff got you, before I ask you to do this, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to make you lie down. I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. Before you walk through, I'm going to nourish you. Before you walk through, I'm going to restore your soul. Because I understand your soul has been taxed. I saw this week. Anybody watch this Antonio Brown stuff? I enjoy sports. And like, I saw this thing where this interviewer like came and she was giving her testimony of like this conversation she had with Antonio Brown before he signed with the Patriots. Is anybody else with me? Like, sign for anybody but the Patriots, right? What? Anybody? Yes, the Saints. But I'm watching this, and I'm like, how in the world is anyone walking away from $30 million guaranteed dollars? Like, $30 million guaranteed to show up. And I'm like, in my mind, like, $30 million is a lot of money. And they asked him this question. Josiah asked him this question. Anderson asked him this question. She said, how's your foot? Because he had this thing where he like burned his foot in a, you know, with frost or something. And he said, fine. She said, how's your helmet? Because, you know, the NFL told him he couldn't use his helmet. And so he was experiencing with a new helmet. And how's your helmet? He said, fine. And then she asked him this, how's your soul? You know what he said? For the other two, it's fine. You know what he said? He said, I'm not sure. He restores my soul. When you go through drama, any kind of drama, baby drama, financial drama, relational drama, when you go through drama or trauma or anything else ending with that, here's what you're going to see. Your soul gets depleted. And when your soul is depleted, instead of walking on ice, you are now angry, frustrated, bitter, hurt, depressed. It manifests in all types of ways and different. The stages of grief, it gets different. And God says, I know this. So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I'm gonna make you lie down. In Elijah's story, I'll close with this. I'm running out of time, but I'll close with this. In Elijah's story, you see this mighty man of God call down fire from heaven. Everything is awesome. He's wetted his altar, and he's mocking the people who are trying to call down fire for Baal, and he's at this place where he's like, let the God who answers by fire be God. Fire falls. And in his mind, he sees, like, this is going to just turn the nation around, and Israel's going to be, woo, woo, good. And everything's gonna be great, and everybody's gonna see Jehovah's a true God, and this nation's gonna serve God until fire falls, but then his best laid plans go to waste, and none of it's happening the way he thought it would. Have you ever had that happen? Like you had this perfect idea of how things would go this school year, and then none of it's going the way you thought it would. You had this perfect idea of like how marriage would go, but none of it's going the way you thought it would. You had this perfect idea of like, this is where our finances will be by this age, but none of it's going the way you thought it would. And for Elijah, this was more than a soul could take. Because your soul is not endless. Do you know, even with willpower, they've proven the later in the day, the less willpower you have. That like in the morning, it's like, I'm not eating cake. And you're fine till like 4 o'clock. And then at four, it's like, what happened to my mind? You have less willpower as the day goes on. You know why? You use it throughout the day. You use willpower. It's not that you don't have willpower. It's like gas. You got to refill. Your soul gets depleted. And when you go through like big time drama, you talk about a soul being depleted. And if you don't take the time to lay down and restore your soul and eat some green grass and drink by still waters, you're not going to be led by the peace that God wants you to go through, because tired eyes, they never see a bright future. When fatigue walks in, faith walks out. And for Elijah, he's at this place where his soul has been so depleted. Here's what he does. I find this fascinating. Here's what he does. He turns to his servant. The guy in his life, get this, who is helping him, he turns to his servant and says, I don't need you anymore. So Elijah pushes this guy who's been helping him out of his life. And he starts walking away from his friends, he starts walking away from his calling, and he starts walking away from his God. This is what drama does. Now here's what you need to know. I heard this Indian proverb, Cherokee Indians. Heard of this story. I don't know how true it is because there's different versions, but still, the moral of it is good. But it was this grandson was talking to his grandfather, and his father had died. Anybody in here like me have had a parent die? Anybody like me at a young age? Yeah, so you could relate to the story. His parent had died, his father. And he was lashing out with like all this anger and just, was bad. And his grandfather is naturally concerned for his grandson because he can see he's not just walking towards this valley. He's actually walking further and further away from the plan that God would have for all these things. It's just bad. So he comes to his grandson. He pulls him aside. And he said, son, in you there are two wolves who are wrestling. Two wolves. It's interesting. He said, one is a dark wolf and it's an evil wolf. It's filled with darkness. And it's just filled with anger. It's filled with frustration. It's filled with hurt. It's filled with bitterness. And it is lashing out and will consume whatever it finds. It's filled with hate. It's wounded. It's dangerous. But he said, there's another wolf in you. That's a light wolf. That's filled with love. There's another wolf in you that is absolutely filled with power, with joy, with peace. And this wolf is wrestling with the other one. And the grandson looked up at his grandfather and he said, which one will win? And the grandfather responded to his grandson, son, whichever one you feed the most. Now here's the thing, when you go through loss, and I've been there, I've been angry. I've cried till I didn't feel like there were any more tears left in me. I punched a hole through a wall. That's the truth. I was at my buddy's place in student housing at Bible school. And my buddy said something to me that made me angry. And I wasn't angry at him. I was just angry in general. I punched a hole straight through his wall. Just angry. I was angry at life. Angry at loss. And you talk about feeding that dark wolf. Whenever you feed the dark wolf, you're numbing. You're not dealing with the issue. You're just numbing the issue. You can do it through drugs. You can do it through walking away from people. You can do it through, you don't understand me. I can't talk to you. I can't open up to you. You don't get me. You're not listening to me. And you start cutting out all these people. You're numbing. You can do it through overeating. You can do it through drugs. You can do it through television. You can do it through Netflix. You're just numbing the issue. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to walk through it. I don't want to walk through it. I don't want to walk through it. And you're losing your will to get up. See, he makes me lie down, which means I'm trying to get up. I want to walk through. But he's saying right now you need to rest. When you're numbing, you're losing the will to get up. You don't want to. You just want to numb the pain. And the more you numb, the less you feel, and you don't want to feel, so the more you numb. And the more you numb, the less you feel, because you don't want to feel, so the more you numb. And it just keeps going and going and going until you don't feel anything anymore. And you're not passionate, and you're not exciting, and people are asking you what's wrong with you, and now all of a sudden you got people that you're not just pushing away, they won't be around you anyway. Why? The dark wolf is winning. And Elijah's in this place, man, where he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. Get away from me. You don't get me. You don't understand me. And this mighty man of God is at this place where he is weak, he is hurting, he is wounded. And he comes to God under a juniper tree and he says, I don't want to live anymore. I'm so frustrated with life and people and all of this stuff. I don't even want to be here anymore. And I love God. You know what he does? He doesn't come to him and say, you know what, man up. He doesn't come to him and say, you know what, woman up. He doesn't come to him and say, be better. You know what he does? He says, come over here. He makes him this meal. And he begins to feed it to him. And he says this statement, take and eat. For the journey is too great for you. And you know what it is, what's true? It is. This journey called life, it is too great for you. You can't do it alone. And you can't do it without God. Not and reach your high calling. Not and reach your ultimate destiny. And what God was showing Elijah in that moment is you got to nourish yourself. You can't numb yourself. You got to nourish yourself. You can't be cutting out people. I got 7,000 people you could connect with. 7,000 you haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And there are three specifically that God has divinely orchestrated to be in your life, that these are divine connections. And instead of them calling you, why don't you pick up the phone and call them? Why don't you tell them this is too much for me? Why don't you be open and honest with them that you need some help, you need some counsel, you need some strength? And if one denies you, that's why I'm asking you to pick up three, is to keep going after nourishment. You need people who can give you advice and wisdom. You need to eat. You need to move. You need to get up from this place. You need to pray again. You need to worship again. You gotta feed the light wolf. And the more you feed the light wolf, the bigger the light wolf gets. And it begins to consume the dark wolf that is in you. And thank God Elijah did, because so much was depending on his life. And listen to me, you don't even know it, but so much is depending on yours. There are people who need you. There are kids who need you. I went through a season of my life where I was praying for myself like all the time. And I told God, I'm like, I feel selfish. I feel so selfish. Like, I'm praying for me more than I'm praying for anything else. I feel so selfish. And the Lord so gently by his Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me this. I told him, I should be praying for the world. I feel so selfish just praying for me. He said, Joel, don't you understand? A fully functioning free you is absolutely one of the best gifts I can give to the world. And did you know that a fully functioning free you is one of the best gifts you can give your children? It's better than anything you can buy them for Christmas. Amen. A daddy and a mama filled with love and joy, where the white wolf has won, where the light wolf has won, where the light wolf has had victory and begun a peaceful home. It's better than anything you could put under a tree. What am I saying? You got to take care of you. You can walk through, but it's after you've lied down. It's after your soul has been restored. It's after you've eaten green grass. It's after you've drinking from still waters. It's after you've nourished yourself and you've stopped numbing yourself. And some of you today, I feel just so strongly in my heart, the Spirit of God just wants to say, stop the numbing. Stop coming up with all the excuses on why you need to numb and numb and numb and numb. Stop the numbing. And if you need help to stop numbing, maybe it's alcohol addiction. Maybe a lot of people have told you you're drinking too much. And you know it because every time you do, you get in a cloud. And you need help to stop the numbing. Get help. Don't wait for them to call you. You call them. Call a counselor. Call a therapist. Maybe your numbing's not alcohol. Maybe it is like you've just been vegging out and you know it. And every time you walk away from it, you just feel dark. That wolf's winning. You've got to pull away from the television. You've got to pull away from all those things. You've got to feed the light wolf. But I'm telling you by the Spirit of God today, if you are willing to lie down, to nourish instead of numb, to eat some green grass, to drink from still waters, you will rise up with enough strength to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, because you know you have a God whose rod and staff will comfort you. And you'll walk right out of that to a table that He has prepared before you, right in the presence of your enemies, where you eat to the full and are satisfied with the life that you have lived, not because the enemies haven't been there, but because you've learned how to maintain your soul through nourishment. Not through numbing. Today, let me pray for you all over this place. Father, I thank you for each and every person who's here. And Father, I thank you by the Spirit of God that you just go to work in the hearts and in the minds of each and every person. Father, I thank you for healing hurts and binding up wounds. I thank you for peace and mercy. Father, I thank you for fresh starts. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Joel, I want to come out of the season that I'm in. I want a fresh start. I want a new life. I want to come alive. I've just felt like I've been in a cloud for so long. I felt like for so long I've been wounded and hurting and broken. For so long I've been discouraged. And I want to give myself over to nourishment. I want to give myself over to the things of God. I want to feed the right things. And I need God's grace to give me that fresh start and to give me the courage to walk away from the numbing. Right now, no one's looking around. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. But I want to pray specifically for you this morning. If that's you, would you just lift your hand all over this room, all over this place, hands going up. All over the place. Why lift the hand? It's just saying, I need help. I'm surrendering. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for each and every person who's here. I thank you for every person who has raised their hand. I thank you, Father, for every person who should have raised their hand. I thank you for every person who just needs a breath of fresh air. And Father, I ask you to have your Holy Spirit just breathe on them a breath of life. Breathe on them with a fresh wind. Breathe on them with fresh fire. Breathe on them with a new grace. And enable them, Father, to walk towards people, to walk towards you, to walk towards help, and to come into this place where you, Father, have made all things new. Father, we love you, Lord, so much. And we thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you for your great grace and your mighty hand in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.